Don't we just have the best church? I love this church so much. Yeah. And it's such a blessing. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, to all the women in this church that have mothers, our mothers, are looking after children. What a blessing that you are getting to know each one of you in different ways. I just want to pray first before I start. That's the most important thing here. Lord, I just pray for each person here today that they would sense your presence in this word, that they would know that they are deeply loved, deeply cared for, every single person here today. But especially as I speak to the women today, I hope that they can relate to even one thing I say to them today. And I just pray that your word would go forth with free course, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. So, just a bit about my family. So you can start the slides, please. This is my lovely family, my daughter, Leslie, and my son-in-law, Jazz, and then Priya. I better get it right here. Priya is on the left. Asha's on the right there. Now, don't you love family photos? I mean, this wasn't the portrait one. My daughter's a photographer. But you can see what's happening on this side. Asha is, she's just a live wire, you know. And Priya's sitting there with that photographer pose that all children are supposed to have. And Jazz is really getting a kick out of, I think, Asha there. So keep going. So here they are a bit later in age. Priya is graduating this year, and Asha's not far behind her. And they've been such a blessing to me. Just their lives and, you know, having grandchildren now, and it's just been such an awesome time for me. Asha and I are very much alike, and we think the same way. And sometimes she'll say things to me like, Nana, she says, why is our family so loud? You know, when we all get together, you know, and the big thing is we come in, and as soon as we get together, we eat. We eat on the table. We all stand there and talk, and she's just really kind of cute that way. Okay, next one. Now, this is Daisy, the grand dog, one of the three grand dogs. And Daisy is an interesting little girl. She is absolutely adorable and has the best temperament ever, but she is a shopping dog. As you can see, she's got a Christmas ball in her mouth that she has got from underneath the Christmas tree, and every night at 8 o'clock, she goes shopping around the house for things. And you don't know what she's going to bring out. That's Daisy. We're a dachshund family. You know, we don't have one right now, but my son has one as well. So, is Betty here today? Maybe not. Anyway, I was talking with Betty, and I said, what is it, Betty, about dachshunds? I said, they're absolutely the most loving, adorable family dog, but if there's a rodent around, they become like the Tasmanian devil. They you don't even know they're the same dog. But she said, well, they're bred for the extremes. She said, and that's what the breeders are looking for, because her and I went to a dog show together. She said they're looking for that passion, the extreme from the gentle to the absolutely working dog. And so, and the next slide is of my son. This is Dan. So you can see we've got the city kids and the country kids. And this is their family. Notice little Greg on this far side. He's got his hockey helmet on. I don't know why that is, but he's got that on. And they're all sitting up in the barn with the horse. And so I'm delighted. I want to show you my very favorite pictures in the whole world, just because it's Mother's Day, and I can do this because I'm here for a little bit of time. It'll get a little more serious in a little while, but anyways, keep going. So this is my favorite photos, the next three. This is the bumper boats. Okay, so Dad, Jazz has Priya, and Jim has Asha, and they're in these bumper boat competition, and so you can see Priya she is spraying her sister, and Jazz is, he's going crazy because he thinks this is hilarious, you know. So in the next slide, you'll see the next, this is your pastor. Yeah, this is your pastor, and I know now Asha's changing her little face. Notice I'm observing the changes that are taking place, right, as a mom. Asha, she's not quite so thrilled right now about what's happening. And then the next one is my son. And he's laughing. Do you know why he's laughing? Because Jazz didn't know that his bumper boat was slowly drifting under the waterfall. He didn't even know. He didn't even know. And so he's laughing because he's about to see what's going to happen. So anyway, that's my family. And except for my most important member right here is the next one, and that is my husband. And he's my inspiration and my life, and, you know, I just love him so much. And, yeah, so, you know, I in saying all these things about my family, you can probably tell right now that family is very important to me. I look at my church as my family, and, you know, if you look at individual, like I, as you can see by me speaking, I'm looking at the individuals in my family and how they're all reacting to life events. And this is because you can look at life's reactions, and every single individual has a different reaction to the same event. So you can have a group of people, my husband knows this from his ambulance background, that you can put a whole bunch of people in the scene and everybody views things in a different way. Mums do this. So you can do the next slide, please. People in malls sit there and just observe. And they watch people go by because usually they don't want to be shopping with their wife. But anyways, you know, they'll sit, you know. Mums do this with their children. How many mums here look at their children and watch how they observe different events that are going on in their life? And also, God does this with us as well. He, you know what? He is the great watcher, and he is watching his children. He's observing them and their reactions to different things. And he does this because he loves us, he's concerned about us, and he values us. Especially women, I'm going to be speaking to you today in the fact that I would like to ask you the question, what do you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? What is it that you plan to do? It's just a question, but in that, we consider that Jesus captivates us with creation, and he does that so that we, our souls will just come to that rest, that place of peace and safety and rest that we so desperately need. In the next slide, it says in Matthew 11:28, it says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." On the next slide, it says, "For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And you're probably asking me, why would our burden be light? Why would this, on Mother's Day, why would I be saying something like this? And that is because Jesus wants us to find rest and peace in our life. He is so interested in how that is works out in our life. He is so interested in us coming into alignment with that. And that comes through, I'd like to say obedience, but I think it's more a lot of submitting to the training processes of the great teacher, you know. And Jesus did this through his disciples. He did this in a way that he called and summoned the 12 disciples toward himself. In other words, when he summoned them or called them, he was actually getting them to come to him. It was a physical, tangible, important time in that whole time for them. You have to imagine them being called out of their occupations, okay? They were various occupations, fishermen, different occupations, and he called them, and they all had names, and they're named. The Bible names them. They are named. They were important. We all have names. Our names are important and mean something, and that's really that's what it's all about is practice. Jesus wants us to view people as being important and knowing their names and that type of thing. So it's all about people. And he gave them authority. He gave them authority over unclean spirits and the power to heal disease and sickness. So he wanted, Jesus wanted his disciples to learn what it was. He wanted them to learn what it was to observe people and observe them to the point that they had the ability to be able to discern what they needed. Do they need healing? Do they need deliverance? And he gave them the authority and the power to do this through the Holy Spirit. And he also said in the next slide, can you go to the next slide? Thank you. Do not go to the Gentiles. So, in other words, they had to listen to him. They had to listen to about where it is that he wanted them to go. Do not go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans, but go to the Israelites and preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do not rely on your own possessions. But he said, bless the house you stay in and rely and enjoy on the generosity of others. Bring people to Christ. You know, it is a big thing, and I'm gonna talk to you a bit about this. Hospitality, whether that's in your home or going and having a meal with someone or coffee, just that fellowship. The New Testament church, how many people here were saved in around the 1970s? 70s? 80s, somewhere in there. You know what? Do you remember the days when you used to go house to house and visit people? How many know that life where you spent a lot of time together? You know, it was like that when we went to, over to Italy, and they spent tremendous amounts of time together. And I was totally amazed and felt that love and that care, you know, when I was there. And a lot of the women do that here. They connect. So I really, really appreciate that. And remember in the next slide that it says, I'm sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. It is I who send you. Okay, so Jesus is sending people. Jesus is sending people. They're not just going. He actually asked them to come, and he actually sent them out as sheep in the midst of wolves, the wolves being the people that persecute the sheep. And back then, he says, beware of men. They will hand you over to the lower courts. So the lower courts in those days being this not just the synagogue, but the lower courts of the synagogue, and it would be, they would actually be flogged by the teachers of the law. So they're not just going to stand before Herod's court. These are actual religious disciplines that they went through, which I found very interesting, actually. I thought, it's not just that you're going to be, they go before the courts. You may find yourself as a Christian before some other type of disciplinary place, whether it's municipal or provincial, you know. But, you know, your enemies may be those in your own household. Now, some of you may understand this better than I do, but I know I have friends that cannot go home. They've come out of certain systems, belief systems, that they can never go home. Because if they do, they could be persecuted. And so I respect these people. I respect them so much. And you know, God is the one who's going to instruct you how to proceed regarding your family. Sometimes it's too dangerous to go home. I know a few people, even in here, it's too dangerous for them to go home. Or to back to where they came from. And so they're here. And I so appreciate that. But the Church of God was on the move, and it is still on the move. And that is the exciting part. So in the next slide, it says the Church of God is on the move because of the signs and the wonders and miracles. It's like people come to that. They want that. They want to know. They want to know what is God doing in the lives of people. And there's nothing like seeing something exciting happen for that to be really, really present. So, but fear can bind us to another person or an event. But only Jesus can take us above that fear. And this is what I'm talking about here, is that in some trials, in some events in our life, fear can result, trauma can result. And only Jesus is the one that can take us above that. And that is so beautiful, because God is above all and is the final one who will make the judgments in the end. So there's a consolation here. You know, on one hand, you may be seeing, you know, trials, tribulations. But on the other hand, the Church of God is on the move. And that is the part I love so much. And in chapter 11, in the next slide, it says John the Baptist was imprisoned. And, you know, there's some schools of thought that say John was in doubt as to whether Jesus really was the Messiah while he was in prison. That's just one school of thought. And then there's the other school of thought that says, you know, the disciples needed to be reassured, and so John's disciples, so that's why John sent them to Jesus. Either way, that's not the point. The point is that Jesus said, "Blessed is he who does not take offense at me." And that is something that I really wanted to study, because the offense taken is at the style of Jesus' life. He didn't live the way we live. He didn't live in our homes. He walked. He talked. He had people with him 24 hours a day for 3.5 years. Sometimes he was weak and lowly, humble. He had to go up in the mountain to pray. And people found offense with that, because he wasn't the strong captain of this army. But Jesus encouraged John's disciples when he met them. And I like it, because this morning it was mentioned in Isaiah 61, where Jesus quoted it, and he said, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor of the gospel preach to them." Jesus said, "Follow me." He said, "Follow me." His works spoke louder than words. He actually did those things. Okay? So that's what he said to John's disciples. "Come and see. Come and see what I'm doing. Come and see what I've done." And then he prayed. In the next slide, Jesus' prayer was, he said, "Lord, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants." Now, I always wonder, why is he calling his disciples infants? But that was because they were lacking the normal patterns of discipleship that the scribes and the Pharisees had. They still had a lot of learning to do. They were sincere, but they were still making mistakes. So did you see how they wouldn't have fit into that mindset of religion during that day? They didn't fit in there anymore, because they found themselves doing things that they had to keep going back to Jesus. But the disciples were brought under Jesus' training for a reason. And the wise and intelligent people, on the other hand, were lacking sincerity of purpose. They were wise in their own eyes. They had their own traditions, their own values. So, you know, if we get back to the scripture on the next slide, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. And you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if we just talk for a moment, you know, I watched this program a long time ago, and it was on how they train the Egyptian horses to pull the chariots. And they actually were hand carving, going back to the day and how they actually did it, and they hand carved this double yoke that would go across the horses' backs. But I found it interesting that each horse was built differently in structure, so they had to hand carve the yoke that really fit on each horse individually, but it fit on the horses together so that they pulled together as one. And I found that interesting. So not all yokes are obviously are the same. And but Jesus, in the next slide, he says, suddenly, when he does compel that people to come, it was with infinite compassion and great force and emotion that Jesus turns to the people and to those who weariness he has shared, and he offers them rest. And he says, come, because no one else can help us recover from the burden of sin. And Jesus sees the toil and labor which weighs on every soul. Also, people who have come out of other belief systems understand the labor and the burdens that have been imposed on them. So in the next slide, I just want to talk to the women for a minute here. So I just want to talk about weariness, fatigue, and mental exhaustion. As women, we all know what that's like. How about moving day? You know, moving day. I don't know how many times you've moved. We've moved 27 times. Yes, please don't judge us. Yes, we're not moving. But, you know, I remember when we were going to move, not now, but when we were going to move before, I would, if I even had a scent that we might be moving, I would collect boxes. And I have flattened boxes stored, you know. And I'm so thankful I don't have to do that now. But, you know, moving day is not all it's cracked up to be, okay? Women know. Okay, you know that you have to plan. And when you move, something's almost always going to go missing or be broken. It doesn't matter how many times you wrap things. And not only that, at the end of moving, there's always a box, at least one box, that has dirty rags in it, an iron. It has some food in it, maybe Kraft dinner. It could have a million things in that one last box. What is that all about? I don't know. You can plan as much as you want. But we've moved ourselves. One time, we moved to Osuyas, Jim and I ourselves. And on the way, the moving truck caught on fire. So we're going down the road. Smoke is coming out of the tires. I said, Jim, there's smoke coming out. We were moving ourselves, right? And so he gets out, he looks, and he goes, oh, no. And he phones, I don't know where it was, Alabama, you know, I think. Yeah, and they're going to help us, right? They're going to help us from there. So I remember, and he says, I know this is from the devil because there's smoke. I laughed so hard at the time. But anyways, for some reason, only God knows, the fire went out. I don't even think we had a fire extinguisher, but and we continued on down the road with our, you know, with our moving truck. But, you know, sometimes we have sick children and we're weary. And I see this a lot with the young moms. They're up all night. They're up all night. And you know what? The next day happens and the bright little faces are looking at you. We're hungry. And you're so tired, you can't even move, you know. And then, but you know, these are all parts of our life. This is life, women. This is our life. And you know, the thing is, Jesus knows about this. He knows how tired we are. And you know what? Maybe we won't get our devotions done that morning or afternoon. You know, sometimes I saw, when I was looking after my daughter-in-law's kids, my son's kids, she would be lying in her bed having a rest, reading her Bible in the afternoon, just to take 5 minutes, you know. So there's no condemnation, you know. Aging parents, you know, maybe we're feeling guilty that we're not, you know, doing all this. It's mental exhaustion. Maybe we're feeling, you know, grief from losing someone. But, you know, these are all heavy. In the next slide, I just want to show you this picture. We can become overloaded, you know, and everybody goes, oh, wow, how did that happen? Well, you know, other people can lay heavy burdens on something. Maybe it's on an animal, maybe it's on a ship, but it can also be on us. And Jesus spoke about this, and he said, the religious leaders tie up heavy, cumbersome burdens, and they lay them on men's shoulders by themselves, and they're unwilling to move them so much as with a finger. So maybe we're overloaded with religion and traditions, you know, when in fact, there's a contrast to that where Jesus says, this concept is transferred, okay, because Christ commands, he's commanding us to come, okay? The laws of the world and religion are a yoke, but Jesus wants us to come. Jesus wants us to come. And this is, and you're probably saying to me, well, what exactly does that mean? It means you know yourself, the things that you've been told. You may have them inside yourself and you don't even know they're there. Or maybe people are telling you that right now about religion and tradition. Maybe you feel you're not up to the task. I used to feel that I wasn't at the right place at the right time in my life. You know, that I should have been farther along than I actually was. And or you're not all that people say that you should be. These are not what Jesus is saying. This is religion and tradition. And so I just want to say in Jesus that we can really be thankful that we have a Savior. Because that's the thing that I came out of myself, is all the things that I thought and that I should do, the way that I should dress, the things I should wear, being at the right place at the right time, doing all the right things. But when Jesus talks about the yoke, this is from a Jewish perspective. This isn't our perspective. This is a Jewish, and it's like a scale that becomes balanced. It's like a pair of oxen that are pulling together and two people pulling as one. So I love that because Jesus now is coming alongside us and he's assisting us. It's no longer I have to do this. Okay? It's a contrast. It's a big contrast. And our yokes fit us. Jesus has the ability to fit us into his system. And all we need to do is submit to coming alongside and coming into that. I'm so thankful that he's called us. The next slide is just a picture. I was driving home. Now, this isn't exactly me taking a picture of me driving home. I got that off of Flickr, but it was exactly the same place in my windshield that I had a crack. And I came around the corner onto Stevenson Highway, and all of a sudden, bang, this like glare came through this crack. And I thought, isn't it amazing that even a crack can reflect, like something broken or something in pieces or fragmented can reflect that much light. And I thought, I just thought for a moment, it's neat how God can use fractured people or broken people to still be reflections. You know, like, have you ever thought about that? I don't know, it hit almost blind to me, though, and that's why it's not always a good thing, because it hit me, and then I was so, like, so taken back by it that I thought, there's a spiritual thing here. This is, you know, from brokenness, something that's not right in a windshield, like I don't know, everyone in the north drives with cracked windshields, but down here it's not that common. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, I saw that it could still reflect the light, and I was totally amazed by that, but I thought I really should do something about my windshield so that doesn't happen again. But anyways, in the next slide, I just want to talk about who Jesus is, and I think this is so neat because he's gentle, humble, and a disciple maker, and he's strength under control, power without undue harshness. And so many of us think that we're Jesus or God or whoever is going to come down on us for doing something, but it isn't that way. His kindness leads us to repentance. It's his kindness. It's who he is. And he was always dependent on the Father, so that means that the kindness came from God, right? Because Jesus said, you know, if you've seen these works, the works that I do are from the Father. So that means that's what the Father is like. He and Jesus was always doing the Father's will. And Jesus said, take my yoke, Zugos, take that upon you and learn from me. Learn. That is the difference. Take my yoke and learn from me, as opposed to slavery and bondage. So it's his direction, pulling as one, his way, not our way. So when Jesus was saying about all you are the weary, when he was talking about the weary, and you will find rest for your souls. That was an Old Testament scripture out of Jeremiah that Jesus was saying, this is what the Lord says. It's a traveling metaphor, actually. Stand at the crossroads and look and ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we're not going to walk in it. And that's what Jeremiah was facing in his day. And that's what Jeremiah was describing Jerusalem. And Jerusalem during that time was a city filled with violence. It was without peace, without remorse, shame, refusing any discipline. And God had given Jerusalem the prophets to help change and warn them, but they didn't. And yet God still provided the seasons, the harvest. He also provided a way for them to stand and consider. And I think, isn't it that God is always faithful? No matter, and this is what they call divine providence. It's when the seasons still come, there's still a time in the day, the tides still come, flowers come up in the spring, Christ is still coming back. Those are all divine things. Things that I love. They give us a hope that can never, ever be taken away from us. So when he says the ancient paths, crossroads, paths of wisdom, he says that it's almost like you're coming to a place in your life where there's a crossroad. Have you ever been there? Like, I don't know, we've been to lots of crossroads in our life. You're standing at a crossroad, and people have given you information. You know, especially when you're driving in the back roads. People, okay, when you get here, turn here. Okay, but the thing is, who have you been listening to? Who have you been listening to? Is it great or is it, you know? Ask for the old paths, like the prophets. They came and they warned and they compelled people, do this, go here, don't do this. And it was, Jesus said, imitate them. Imitate them. Listen to them. Listen to their ways. Their ways point towards the kingdom of God. And I guess this morning, I really wanted to have a happy, fun time. You know, it's Mother's Day, and I wanted everything to be absolutely funny and upbeat. But I want you to know something, is when Jesus says, come and take my yoke upon you and learn, he is asking. He's asking you to physically come to him and learn from him, learn his ways, because if you do, you will find rest in him. You'll find rest. And it's true, you will. How many of you, and I know there's some of you here, who prayed for your children, mums, you get up in the middle of the night, sometimes 2-3 in the morning. Yeah, you do. Yeah, there's one person. I know I have. You've gotten up to pray for your girls. You got up to pray for your boys. Because why is that? Because we love them. Think how much greater that is of how God, our Heavenly Father, is up there. And he loves us. And he wants us to have that rest. And so that is the difference between the yoke of slavery and Jesus' yoke. He's asking us to physically come. He's asking us to put aside all of those thoughts, patterns that we've had from the past. He's asking us to come to that crossroad in our life where, which way are we going to go? Are we going to go towards him? Are we going to learn from him? Are we going to put aside those things, those hindrances and weights that are weighing us down? Are we going to follow him? And this isn't the way of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus said about them, he said, you know, look at their words, but don't do what they say. Have you ever met people like that? Like you would love to, but love to follow them, but their life isn't always, you know, matching up with what they do. And hey, we're all learning. We're all on that road together. But what Jesus is saying is, learn from me. He is our example. He is who we follow, and we adore him. I have to admit that sometimes I make myself a bystander in this whole walk. And I kind of sit and watch sometimes. You know, I do. It's been a fault. You know, I'll sit and watch things go by. Maybe I could have said something or done something. And maybe I do, maybe I don't. But that's not the issue, is what I do. It's who am I listening to? Who am I following? And that's the thing. We're following him because he's the ultimate one that's the most important in our life. He loves us more than anyone. And so I just want to compel you today. Just if you want to come, if you want more of Christ, and this isn't about the leaders as much as a choice that there's something that you want. You're missing something in your life. You want that time. You want to know. You want to stand down here today and you want to say, this is the time for me. This is the time for me to make that public, where I'm going to stand here and I'm going to ask God to take my life just the way it is, broken, and I just want to go on with you. I want to settle something today here. And if you feel that that's what you would like to do, then I'm just going to invite the musicians to come up. And I would just like some music played in the background. And if you feel that you would like the pastors,
to pray for you, then please come forward, especially the women, because we carry these different things in our lives. And I just want you to know that we care about you here. And I don't want you to go home at the end of this Mother's Day and say, we didn't think about where you're at, because we care where you're at on Mother's Day. It's important. And so if you feel that you would like to come forward and you would like to come forward for prayer, we would be happy to pray for you with all our hearts, because we want to see you go through a good life and a good day in Jesus' name.